Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, guys. We are back with a new episode of
Real Wives in Radio.
I'm Dorothy.
And I'm Tanya.
And today we have a really special guest. We're just going to cut right to it. No pop off, because something big happened last week that had us shook as women.
Yes.
I was shocked and appalled. Like, I could not believe. I felt like we are living at the very beginning of The Handmaid's Tale. I'm talking about the abortion ban.
Okay, listen. I don't know what you mean by that, because I don't watch that show. But I've heard that this is, similar?
It's very similar. I mean, that show, if you haven't seen it, it's on Hulu. It's pretty much about the government taking over, and religion gets mixed in with government and becomes like super duper crazy and very like they're tyrants, the way that it's run.
Okay.
And women have no rights. They're just there to be subservient, and they're forced to have babies by these guys to continue this terrible way of living.
And what is the time? Like,
it's in the future.
Oh, it's in the future.
Yeah, so it's like America has a civil war, and like, it's kind of like these crazy religious people win the South, and then the North is like the free area, or you got to go to Canada, you know? And Elizabeth, what's her face from Mad Men?
Love her.
She's super good, but she's like the main girl in it.
Yeah. So we have a guest today, because we're going to be talking about what is happening with this anti-abortion law or bill that happened in Alabama, that passed in Alabama. And her name is Nora Vargas.
Yes.
Hi, Nora.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We were talking about this, and we actually had something different planned for this podcast. We're going to bring the husbands on, which, don't worry, guys, they're going to come on soon.
Yes.
But this is so, we had to, I mean, there was no way that we could not talk about this.
Absolutely.
We're all about these kind of topics and talking about these kind of things on our podcast.
And especially because, you know, people don't talk about it that much. They don't dive deep into it. And it's such a important human's right issue, not just a woman's issue,
no,
I believe.
Absolutely.
You know, and Nora, you're the vice president of community and government relations for Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest. And we thought you'd be the perfect person to talk to you about
this. Thank you. Well, it's unfortunate to have to come up on radio or anywhere else to talk about these issues, because we do feel like we're regressing.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm happy to be here and share information, factual information about what's actually going on and what people can do to get engaged. And just because it's happening, it doesn't mean it's the end.
Okay.
And there's things that we can do to keep moving forward and changing, because I think that's the reason why I'm involved in politics. What I do civic engagement is because I actually do believe that people have the power to take back these houses and these legislatures to make sure that women's voices are heard.
I love that. Okay, so let's start with who you are. I want to know your background, because I only know your name and kind of briefly who you are, but I want to know like where you came from, you know, your journey to where you are now and where you plan on being in the future.
Yeah.
And your story with Planned Parenthood too. That's so badass. I love that.
So I grew up in Tijuana. I'm a binational border kid, right? I was one of the fortunate ones that actually could go back and forth as I was growing up. And it was really normal to go across the border and grab milk or whatever, right? And my aunts and my uncles lived here as well. Later on, I actually moved over here to San Diego. So I've been in my community for over 30 plus years.
Okay.
And grew up in the South Bay, went to Montgomery High School.
Nice.
Yeah, go Aztecs, Southwestern College, right? And then I transferred away to the University of San Francisco. I was really engaged like in Mecha when I was a student, and I did a lot of activism in high school. We opened up the first Latino newspaper at Montgomery High School, and there's other people leading the charge, and I was just kind of, you know, supporting and helping. But I've always been engaged, always believed that people should have access to rights. When I went out to the University of San Francisco, that's when it was the year of the woman. So that's how old I am. I'm pretty old. It was in the early 1990s. And, you know, I was really active and engaged around women's issues. And for me, the big question was, how do we talk about access? How do we talk about choice, particularly to women who may not have that access or that choice?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the work that I was doing was in Latin America. And I thought, you know, the women in Latin America and Mexico may not have those rights. But then I realized, actually, it's happening here in our own backyards and in our communities. And because I'm bilingual and bicultural, I started, you know, I felt like I actually had a very different perspective than other people could would have. And so I started getting engaged at the college level, and then, you know, became a patient of Planned Parenthood. Okay. And, you know, in my family, nobody talked about sex.
Right.
Oh, girl. Same.
You know? Same right here.
Strict Catholication.
I used to teach catechism. I always tell people.
You used to teach catechism?
I used to teach catechism, and I went to all those, like, you know, Mexico City to do the, you know, ofrendas and, like, you know, like, pray and all that good stuff. So, I mean, I'm Catholic, and I'm really a proud Catholic, but we weren't supposed to ask questions, and it wasn't because my parents were bad people. No. It's just that it just was taboo to even have
conversations.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm very close to my mom, as we had her on the other day for the podcast, but it was like when we just didn't talk about it. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, mom, like, good thing I came out like somewhat okay. Like,
no, it's,
you know, like, I just, looking back now, I'm just like, how did we not ever talk about it? But thank God for places like Planned Parenthood, you know.
So I had a friend in LA who took me to Planned Parenthood when I was at USF, and she was from LA and she knew like everything. And so she took me, and I received all the care that I needed. And so I kind of fell in love with the organization. And then when I became a political activist and worked for a local member of Congress, did a lot of community work, they really were trying to get young people engaged with the organization. And as a Latina and somebody who was really doing a lot of grassroots organizing, they said, you know, join our board. So I joined their board in my early 20s.
Wow.
And became very engaged. And then I always love telling people I fell in love and moved to Orange County. I was looking for a job, and Planned Parenthood had a job. And that's how I ended up, getting a job there. And I became a director. And then I became the first Latina executive in Orange County.
Yay! That's a big deal. It is kind of cool.
Ripping. I mean, I still, you know, I also became the first one in San Diego at our Planned Parenthood. I'm really proud of that, but I've made sure that I haven't been the last, right? So I make sure that other women and people of color are engaged in the organization and continue to do great things. But anyway, so I have been active with Planned Parenthood probably about 20 years.
Wow.
That's great.
And it's the best organization in terms of the work that we do, and we're always changing, trying to make sure we're meeting people where they're at. And about in 2013, things were happening. I was back here in San Diego, living in Chula Vista, and there was an opening for a community college board, Southwestern College, so I went there. And I'm like, you know, I'm okay with being in the background in politics. I don't really need to be in the forefront. But there was a lot of stuff happening, and I decided, you know what, put your money where your mouth is. And so I ran for the appointment process, and I didn't get it the first time. And the second time I did get it, and then I got elected in 2014 and reelected in 2018. So I've been officially an elected official now since 2013. And,
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, that's a little bit scary to put yourself out there like that.
It is. Everybody knows everything about you and you have to behave. And, I'm just kidding. I always behave. I'm a good girl. But no, I mean, you know, it's when you do it for the right reasons and you have passion and commitment for it, it's, you know, there's some days that are tough, but in the end, to be able to do good work for our students and, you know, having been in their shoes and now being able to make decisions that really impacts them and really be their advocate, I think it makes me really proud to be able
to do
that work.
It's got to be so rewarding, Nora. That's amazing. Your journey to where you are now is...
Yeah.
You're so accomplished, and you still want to do so much more.
I do. So the Governor Brown appointed me, and again, I became the first Latina on something called the CalSTRS Board, the California Teacher Retirement Board, which is the largest pension. So all those teachers out there, and most of the teachers are women and women of color. So I'm really proud to serve on their board. We manage about $250 billion, right? And I love telling that story because when I was asked by the governor or told by the governor that I was going to be on that board, Governor Brown, I said, oh, I'm not sure that I'm the right person for the job. And like most women, you know, I was like, oh, you find somebody else. And then I got on that board and I realized that I do know more than I even believed that I knew, right?
Yeah.
And then I had a perspective that was very different than other folks. So I've been able to be on that board and make really tough decisions, like making sure that we, you know, no longer put our money in private prisons or things of that nature, you know, or really, you know, environmental issues and issues that really matter. So I think for me, it's been a really cool journey to be able to, as an elected official and a representative on these boards, to do really good things that are actually impacting our community, all while I have my full-time job at Planned Parenthood.
Girl.
doing the most, listing all these things, I'm like, how does she have the time?
I have fun. I have a lot of fun doing it because I love it.
And you look great. great. Like, you don't look like super run down or anything. Like, how do you do it? What's your secret?
I don't know. I started going to play fishing on Sunday, so that's my other secret. But anyway, I try to do other stuff on the side to make sure I stay, you know, grounded.
Balanced, yeah.
Yeah, but I think for me, it's my commitment and my passion to the community. I think that keeps me going. And I also, you know, I always tell people, because, you know, someday you should all do a show on what it's like to run for office and what that means, because that's it's a whole other different animal. But I'll say to you that I'm really lucky to have, you know, I have a really great boss that supports me. And so when I ran for the college board, she's like, oh, yeah, I'll be with you 100%. You know, you just have to do your job and do your job well. And I did. And now that I'm running for the Board of Supervisors, District 1, and I'm in San Diego, the southern part of San Diego. And for that seat as well, you know, they've been very supportive. And I have to make sure I balance it out, right, because I can't, you know, there's a lot to manage. But but having the support of your employee and your coworkers and your colleagues makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women don't want to run for office because, you know, the spotlight is on you.
Right.
And there's a lot of negativity around it. And so in order for us to make change, we have to step up and do it ourselves. And so I feel good.
Yeah.
And that's why, I've always been proud of the work that we do at Planned Parenthood. But I think we're a good organization to work for, and we're always striving to really elevate people so that they can continue to move forward in your jobs and so on.
Now let's talk about this abortion ban in Alabama and what it really means. Yeah. Like, can you break it down for us?
Yeah, for somebody maybe who's been like hiding under a rock for the last like week. What does this mean?
Yeah. So Alabama passed the most restrictive abortion ban, in our life, in our history. And so what that means is that it doesn't matter what the reason would be for you to get an abortion, you would just not have access. And so it's really scary that this is happening during this, you know, period of time, because the reality is that it's also happening in you know, Georgia, mm-hmm. Ohio, Kentucky, and Mississippi. And then Missouri also passed an 8-week ban last week. And so what's happening is sort of this political move by the conservatives to really begin to ban abortion throughout the states. The governors sign it, and then what they want is the lawsuits to happen, because we're suing them.
Right.
And then it goes
to the Supreme Court. Right?
And with Trump and Kavanaugh, you know, we're really concerned about what that's going to mean.
Yeah,
and
because
what is that going to mean?
I read that that they are being so restrictive because they want people to sue. So it goes to the Supreme Court, and because it's a conservative Supreme Court, all the justices, that they're going to ultimately overturn Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, and what they want to do is they want to ban abortion outright. That's what
at a federal level instead of just at a state level.
And what they've done really well, I think, and by them I mean extreme conservatives, is that because there was a point in time where conservatives and liberals would work together on issues of women's rights and reproductive access, and there were Republicans and Democrats on both sides supporting these issues. It was like a normal thing to do, but it's really has changed now, and it's so extreme. Yeah, it's the extreme. And so what's really harmful for this is that not only are they doing it through like the legislation, right, they do it through Title 10 or through other regulations to try to prevent women to be able to have access. So one of the things is that they would actually criminalize the doctor that would perform the abortion, right? So you're performing an abortion for someone, for whatever reason they make a decision to have an abortion, that person can go to jail. And so that creates a big problem for our doctors and our medical providers, who all they're doing is they're providing a healthcare
service.
But because there's so much stigma around abortion, right, and I don't know if you've heard, right, a lot of people say, well, oh my God, even in rapes or incest, even in those cases, they're not doing it. And so what's happening is that they're taking back the rhetoric, the conservatives are, and saying like, well, you should only be able to do it under certain circumstances. And the reality is that abortion is a safe and legal procedure that should be able to have, accessible to everyone, no matter what. And so it's a really big deal, I think, for women across the country and even in California, right?
Well, one of my questions. So this is happening in Alabama right now, and you're saying possibly in other places too.
It has happened.
It has already. Uh-huh. Okay. So how How close is it to changing our lives here in California? I mean, I know it's much different over here, yeah. But I mean, what is the reality of that?
Yeah, so there's 15 state bans on abortion that have passed in the first 5 months of 2019. That's 15 bans already.
That's so crazy. That's so many.
In the United States of America. Yeah, 15 bans. So what happens in California is like, so I'll be really honest, you know, Planned Parenthood has been very engaged in advocacy for many years in California. And we've been able to really work really hard with other groups and other organizations to ensure that women have access and families. And we actually have a governor now. Governor Newsom was here over the weekend on Saturday. With some of the legislators, and we had a big rally with him. It was a healthcare rally, really healthcare for all, you know, California for all, right? And it really is this idea that everybody should have access to healthcare, including abortion, and there shouldn't be stigma. So he's actually working on expanding services for women so that we actually are able to provide more resources and we can have people, you know, come to our centers and so on.
That's great.
And so so we're lucky in that sense, right? And we have the majority of our legislators are pro Planned Parenthood, pro women's issues, and pro family, which is, mm-hmm. I think, really, really important,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So anything from diapers to birth control, it's not just one
Love
or
that.
The other.
Right.
And so so we're in a good place. The problem is that, you know, if even though we're a state that protects privacy, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So sort of like the Roe versus Wade, we have it in California. And most people don't realize that didn't happen until like the early 2000s. People think it happened a long time ago, but it didn't. It actually happened in the early 2000s with one of the senators who actually made that, what they call codify it under law. So now it's the law.
Okay.
But the reality is that there could be other things that are changed through our members of the House of Representatives that could have an impact. So let's say, for instance, it no longer falls under like a law around privacy. It mm-hmm. can fall under like if they give personhood rights to the fetus, right? So if things mm-hmm. change right now, you know, women have rights and
right.
so
yeah.
they make a decision with their bodies. So let's say they decide, okay, the fetus has rights, and so then it completely changes.
Right, because then
the
it's like, okay, well then if the fetus has rights, who speaks on behalf of the fetus?
Yes.
But the woman's carrying it, so what happens to her rights?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just so tricky, like how how do you even navigate that?
Yeah.
So how close are we to something like that happening
in California? We're going to keep fighting it in California.
Okay.
I think that we are in a good place, like I said, with the governor that we have, the members of the legislature. But what I always say to folks is, it's still not enough. Because look, I'll be honest, in about 4 years ago, we opened up the first health center for Planned Parenthood in Imperial County. It took us a lot of work. And it was really as a result of people in Imperial County asking us, right? I think your husband?
My husband's from out there, yeah.
So I spent mm-hmm. a lot of time in El Centro Calixico, Brawley, everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And the community really wanted us, but meaning the
people
who needed the mm-hmm. health care. But a lot of the undertones of the conservative groups there like didn't want us there. And so it took us forever to open up a health center, and, you know, to the point that, you know, we had protesters every day. And like,
people
being able to get
they just want basic health care
exactly.
that aren't provided to them from their government.
And I'll tell you, forget about the fact that, you know, we can talk about abortion separately, but in Imperial County, for instance, if you were trying to get birth control or you have like a UTI or something, you would have to wait for hours and hours at a local clinic because there wasn't, the need is so great.
Wow.
But if you wanted to have an abortion, you would have to drive at least 2 hours to Coachella or 2 hours
Jeez.
To San Diego. And so think about the women who really don't have access, right? So
right.
if you have money, you will always have access.
Things into perspective
right?
now. For somebody who lives like in Imperial County, you said they have to drive like 2 hours, but I can't imagine either not being like in Alabama and not even having access, like not even being able to
right.
do that.
Yeah.
And not then having the option.
And then going somewhere where you're having unsafe abortions that are like illegal and that will leave your body.
Yeah.
Like you could be off in worse conditions. You could die.
Yeah.
Because that service isn't provided
to
you.
Women before.
Right.
And I think, you know, let's not go that far. Right. I mean, we live really close to the San Diego, Tijuana, Mexico border, and
mm-hmm.
abortions are illegal in Mexico. Right. And so, we know what happens when women don't have access to reproductive health care. And so, you know, when we talk about it at Planned Parenthood, we really talk about, you know, the broad array of services that we provide, right? And it's really about a woman's reproductive health care throughout their years. It's not just one thing or another.
Right.
And I think that's where the prevention piece and getting information to folks and women having access to abortion, that's really important, and really having conversations. And I think that this is why, like, you know, it's important to be on podcasts and to be able to have conversations with folks who are out there, because people think, oh, it's fine, California. No, no pasa nada. Nothing's going to happen here. Everything's going to be fine. But the truth is that, you know, things could change. If you have a different legislature, if you have a different governor.
Oh, yeah.
And it can change in a minute. And I think people, you know, need to be reminded. And that's why it's so important for people to get engaged.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because, look, people say, oh, I hate politicians. I hate politics. That's what everybody says.
Yeah. I used to be one of those people.
Yeah,
literally years ago, I used to be one of those people. Yeah. And then I realized, well, that's not doing anything. Like, that's not doing me good. That's not doing anybody in my community good. That's not.
Yeah, because it's your resources, right? It's your taxpayer money. It is your, you go to work every day, you pay taxes, and it's all of this is, you know, we get to make decisions on your behalf. And if we don't hear from you, then we're going to do what's best for us. And, you know, there's some good ones like me. But what if you're not? You know, what if you have a very different perspective where our values are not aligned? And that's why it's so important that people get engaged.
To be active about it and be informed, for
and
sure.
And I think, you know, the thing about it is, if you, you know, people talk about, it's not, you know, it's not just about abortion, but it's about also about women as a whole, right? If you look at what's happening in places like Alabama and Georgia and all these places, it's really attacking poor women and Black women, right? It really is an attack on, we don't want you to reproduce. We want to tell you what to do. If you have access to money, you can go anywhere.
That's true.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, but if you don't, then you are absolutely impacted by what they're doing.
So what can we do, or what should we be doing other than being engaged and informing ourselves on what's going on in Alabama and Georgia? What else can we do to make a difference to prevent something like this happening again or anywhere else? Or
I think the prevention piece is really getting engaged and really getting active and letting people know what's happening. People can get, I mean, there's going to be a presidential race in 2020. That makes a huge difference. And, you know, and I always say to folks, this is not about being political. This is about sort of the state of this country and where do we want it to be and what are your values and what do you want? And if you believe in the president that we have, then that's a person's prerogative, and it is what it is. But if you don't, then get engaged, because, you know, California primaries are being moved to March. So we will have a big impact on what happens nationally, right? And that matters. Whoever, you know, learn more about the candidates and what they're doing and what they're running for. Support organizations, not just like Planned Parenthood, but Sister Song or the California Latinas for Reproductive Justice. There's a lot of organizations that are really focused on engaging on prevention and legislation to really advocate to expand services, not just we want to keep what we have, but really to expand services. And then there's organizations like Sister Song and other organizations in the South that are also working to, you know, create a barrier so that it doesn't continue to be as bad as it is for women out there and stuff.
What is Sister Song?
Sister Song is an organization that actually was created to really advocate for women of color, particularly it was founded by African-American women, Asian women, and Latinas who came together and, you know, because they wanted to make sure that they had a space within the reproductive rights movement. And really, there's a whole, like, sort of, the movement is under the reproductive justice movement, which really is talking about, like, it's not just about choice, it's about access, because it doesn't matter if you have a choice if you don't have access to services. Mm-hmm. And so how do we make sure that we have that? And that's really how my journey began with Planned Parenthood. It was really about, what do we do about women of color, who otherwise may not have access to these services, and how do we fight for them to be able to have them? And here we are. You know, I've been with Planned Parenthood, like I said, over 20 years, and some days are tougher than others. But to see what this president and what, you know, the threats that we have with this Supreme Court, it's pretty scary, because...
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Look, I always tell people...
It's legit terrifying.
I mean, like, I'm 47, right? So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm good. Like, I have a good job and things are good. But in my nieces, right, 16, 17, my sister, my nephews, all these young people, I mean, we want them to have a future where they have rights, not less rights.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I mean, that's why we've all fought so hard to, you know, try to move forward. And so that's the scary part.
But you did say at the beginning of this podcast that there is
Yeah.
Hope.
Always.
Yes.
Always hope.
So.
And getting engaged. I mean, and I know it seems like, you know, I'm like, I have people who come in phone bank, right, to call into Alabama. They call to Georgia. They, you know, when we have the elections and governor's races, because we, you can do that from California, right? There's a whole bunch of organizations that are actively engaged outside of California, but you don't have to fly or go anywhere in Nevada. And people are like, oh, but I hate calling people on the phone because, you know, I only got three people to respond. You know, three people in an election can make a really big difference. Yeah.
Oh, it's like, I mean, ratings in radio.
Yeah,
we have these little things called little meters, and people are supposed to carry them. And it's a small selection, a small sample.
Real small.
Real small. But like you said, those three meters, those three people can make a huge difference. If they stop listening to you for like a week, your ratings could dramatically drop. Like, it's crazy. I see what you mean.
Yeah, and so that's important. The other thing to know is that some of this stuff, they pass, but not everything has been officially become law yet.
Okay.
So it's good for folks to know that they can still go to their Planned Parenthoods, they can still get services. I mean, I will tell you that, for instance, we saw an influx of people as soon as the new administration came in 2 years ago. A lot of people were coming in for long-term contraception and also because they were worried about whether they were not going to have access or not. So right now, people still have access, but we want to continue to fight to make sure.
Yeah. Can I just say thank God for Planned Parenthood growing
thank
up?
You.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like we were talking about, I mean, my parents are strict Asian parents. We never talked about sex. My sister was a teen mom, and so it was even more extreme. Like, you can't date. You can't talk to anybody. Like, you can't be having sex.
And you only have sisters. Five sisters, right?
Four sisters.
Total of five.
Yeah.
Girls.
And so, you know, like, when I was curious and when I was becoming sexually active, like, I couldn't talk to my mom about that. Yeah. I couldn't talk to my dad about that. Yeah. And it's like, thank God.
You're right.
I could go to Planned Parenthood.
That's where I got the sex talk.
Exactly.
That's where I got my sex talk. Mom, I love you, but it just never happened. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's where I got the sex talk.
You know?
And I'm so fortunate to have had that and have had that safe space where you didn't feel judged and like.
And that's exactly what it was for
answered.
Me was a safe space and to get informed about just everything, like just STIs, your reproductive health.
Everything,
You know, and it's a great resource to have. And I think about like, God, if my niece didn't have that, I mean, she's 12, 13, but like growing up when she gets older, I wouldn't want that right to be taken away from her.
Right.
I mean, well, think about it. So right now there's something called the California Healthy Youth Act that was passed in the legislature. And so what that means is that you get to, you know, learn comprehensive sex education in the schools. And there is this big, you know, group of folks who are anti comprehensive sex ed that are saying, no, our young people should not have access. And there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of lies about what people are being taught, right? And the reality is that young people just want to have the information so that they can make the best choices. Mm-hmm. And we know, like, scientifically, it's proven that the more information you have, that's age appropriate.
Right.
You're not going to have the same conversation with a 12-year-old than you are going to have with a 6-year-old that's questions about, like, what is this body part?
Right.
You know,
I mean,
it's a very different, you know, little young people want to explore and they want to ask questions, and you should be able to give them that. And so a lot of times parents don't have that, but you know, at Planned Parenthood, we try to make sure that people have access to that information. But there's San Diego Unified, County Board of Education. Some of these folks down here are really organizing against it. But it's not just happening in San Diego. It's happening across the country and, like, and across the state, Fresno, Bakersfield, some of these areas where there's pockets of conservatism, where you have a small pocket of parents that are very engaged. And the challenge is that most parents have jobs and all sorts of other stuff. So they're like, it'll be fine. They'll get the information at their school and stuff, but they don't realize that there's this new stuff happening.
Right.
And it's
people
having information.
Wow. Okay.
But I need to leave it with a positive note.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I think that the important thing is that in California.
That big breath I just said.
I don't want to use negative information only. But I think what's really important about this, the more people are informed, the more people are engaged, the better they become advocates for their kids and also for women across the country and in the state. And so there is a lot of information. You know, they can go to plan.org. They are able to kind of follow us, what we're doing at Planned Parenthood. But more importantly, I think, I think this is a time where we can make a decision about what we want the future of our country to be. Mm-hmm. And the more we get engaged and the more we understand what's happening and we just speak up, right?
Have the conversation.
Absolutely.
Have the conversation, whether you think it applies to you or not. You know, it may not now, but it may one day, or, you know, it may evolve into something that may affect you in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Have the conversation. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and if you use your platforms, right, social media, any type of Instagram, Facebook, whatever people use, because there's something always new every day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think those are all other ways that people could just provide opinions and have, you know, not be afraid to stand up right now more
there
than ever.
There is something I have to say about that, just because, yeah, social media is a great way to spread information. So I have to say, like, sometimes I'm skeptical to do that because it's also an easy way to spread false information.
Oh, yeah.
So
I just, and like, get trolls.
For me, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like one of those things that I guess I just have to do my homework, right, and figure out what's really going on and what's not. But yeah.
But I think telling stories, right, telling stories about how, like, you know, healthcare or reproduction is very different for everybody. And I, you know, both of you have had or shared stories about yourselves mm-hmm. on the radio and mm-hmm. talked about your different journeys and all that. I think that's important because I think the more we demystify what reproductive health is, the more people are going to be okay with asking mm-hmm. questions right. and feeling like, oh my God, that happened to me, or like, oh, I wish I would have known more about that, or what opportunities or what's out there for me, right? Yeah. And sometimes people don't even know that they can have those conversations, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff that I learned in high school about sex, I was like, what? I'm like, I mean, I was an actor, but I still, like, you know, like, the right. things I heard, right?
Right,
and
right,
so
right.
I'm like, oh my God. So
and
now,
it's that little Catholic girl.
I know. So anyway.
Well, thank you so much for being on with us, Nora. Like, that was really great and really informative. And now, for people to find you and get more info about you and running for county supervisor, how do we do that?
That's noravargas.com.
Hey.
And check in. And we're constantly having events and information. But, you know, I think what I love to say to folks is that this is not just about me, right? And yes, I would be making history as the first Latina to be on the Board of Supervisors or the first woman of color. But this is really about our community having a voice on the Board of Supervisors and shaking things up and mm-hmm. changing things so that the future of San Diego is one that everyone's thriving, not only a few. So I'm yeah. excited about it.
We're excited too.
So noravargas.com?
Yes.
That's easy.
Yeah. N-O-R-A, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us and feel free to come back whenever.
Ever. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you know all the things.
I know.
You do. You just like the way you explain it is just like, oh, okay.
Well, I get it. Easier. It's layman terms. Like, yes. I don't feel like a dummy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you. You can find Dorothy on social media.
At Dorothy on Air, or listen to me Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 on KXC 96.5.
Yes, and you can find me on Instagram at I'm Tanya Gonzalez. And you can listen to me with John and Tammy in the morning from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 103.7 KSON, which you're a fan of.
Super country fan. Yeah, I love it. Oh, my God. It's my thing.
Favorite country artist?
Oh, my God. All of them. I don't have one. I'm actually just really depressed because I didn't go to Stagecoach this year because I was campaigning. But Next year.
Exactly.
Shelton is always my favorite. But Reba McEntire. Yeah. I don't know. All of them. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us. And we will have to check out your website and learn more about you and mm-hmm. hopefully see you up there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Breaking ground.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Thank you, Nora.
Thank you, ladies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.